as the Lord shall help us each in speaking and in hearing, I'd ask your attention, giving the chapter this time, to the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, where, speaking about God, the Apostle Paul says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Can I ask, have you ever been delivered? What would you say? I said, now, from what have you been delivered? What do you count as a great deliverance that God has given you? Makes us pause. Makes us think. The word deliver occurs many times in the Bible. It's one of the Bible themes. I think 400 times at least. The word deliver or its associate words are used in the Bible. Deliver. And possibly you twigged the emphasis in the reading upon the word deliverer, speaking of Moses in those days. Well, first, this was written to the Christians at Corinth, a seaport, many nationalities, sailors calling at the port continually, not Jews for the most part, and yet the gospel comes to them as it has come to us. And we think, in the first place, by shipping, those that took ship and reached our shores. I wonder how often we think that the gospel came to us because of unbelief. Does God use unbelief? Do we think that all things are at God's command? We read in Romans 11 and verse 11, Paul is speaking. Speaking of the Jews, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall in unbelief, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. I don't know how many Jews were provoked to jealousy by the gospel coming to the Gentiles. But so it is. God used even the unbelief of the Jews, like we had in our reading. The persecution in Jerusalem led to the persecuted Christians fleeing elsewhere, carrying, of course, with them the gospel. Do we carry the gospel with us? So, first, these lovely words in our text. God, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now, we must first note to whom the epistle or the letter is addressed. When the post comes to our letterbox, obviously the first thing is to see who it's addressed to, if there are more persons than one. Even occasionally might find one that was intended for next door. The envelope tells us, and we would not think of dream of opening an envelope with the neighbour's name and address, and also Mr. and Mrs. We look at the envelope first. So to whom is this letter addressed? What is on the envelope? It's addressed to the Church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints that are in all Achaia. That is the region all about, what is now Greece, the southern area of Greece. It's addressed to the saints, people separated in their intent, in their aims, separated to serve the Lord, saints. Oh, you know what the world thinks about saints. Oh, they say he's a holy Joe or something like that. You see, they do not think of the word. And sometimes I wonder whether we do, whether we feel that we are called to be saints. Is that too much for us to think about? And do we sort of fight shy of it for a start? There it is, called all the saints this is addressed to. And so we feel children of the Father. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. There's the greeting at the outset. I write a few letters, but often I forget the initial greeting that I should desire for them as an evidence of my prayers for them. Well, children of the Father. But isn't everybody a child of the Father? Not if you read the Bible. And we find Jesus himself saying on earth some dreadful words, "Ye are of your father the devil." To those who listened and yet opposed what he said, never mind neglected what he said, opposed what he said, answered back. They were always answering back. Ah, and Jesus shows who is their father. Do you think devils have vanished from the world? Do you feel that when it says that Satan was a murderer from the beginning, do you think there are any murderers in the world today? We can't escape it. And I sometimes feel that it's like the time when the Lord was here on earth. There was a lot of devilish activity. There were those possessed with devils. Seven devils. Mary Magdalene. But yet, the Lord cast out those devils, and then she showed her love for her deliverer. Oh, you know, she was delivered from so much, and therefore her love was all the greater still. Well now, here in the verse then, we have the past and the present and the future. And as we spoke this morning, spoke about animals and so on, do they have thoughts about past, present and future? Man is the one to whom is given that living soul that is conscious of a past, a present and a future. We know that for too many, their future is limited to the things of this world. That's as far as their future goes. Oh, what a dreadful mistake. No, man has a soul that is immortal, and we have a gospel that is a complete gospel. It takes care of the past and the present and the future, as you can see in our verse. Oh, such a deliverer. Moses was an example, one beforehand, but he spoke of a prophet like unto him. And we know, of course, that he was prophesying that Jesus Christ would come. Oh, that prophet, that priest, that king, for such as us. Ah, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Well, here, Paul is able to address those who are called to be saints in this way, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And so he joins himself with these saints who delivered us from so great a death. But, what was Paul speaking about? Well, let's just for a moment read those verses later that come later in the epistle. Paul says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labours more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, outside, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Is that what Paul was speaking about when he says, "Who delivered us?" He was delivered, but he was still in the middle of that life of travail and pain for the gospel's sake. Oh, the love of Christ. He knew it. It carried him on. His dependence was upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust ours is too. So he doesn't say who delivered us from so many deaths. He says, "Who delivered us from so great a death?" What's he speaking about? He looks back to the time when he was living so great a death. He lived, as we've read, he lived as a Pharisee, and you couldn't find a more zealous Pharisee in all Jerusalem. Oh, the zeal with which he persecuted the church, taking him to distant cities, to poor, sorry Damascus. Oh, no, the Lord saw him persecuting, busy about that persecuting work, Saul of Tarsus. But it was all living so great a death, the death of unbelief, and the Lord met him. Oh, and he was delivered. You can read what he felt if you turn to Timothy, and you find there in that first epistle of Timothy, you read his own testimony as to what he felt about it, why the Lord took pity on him. This is what he says. 1 Timothy 1. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." No wonder he goes on to say, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Why? "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So the Lord is showing him the loving kindness, the long-suffering that the Lord had had in his heart all those years when Saul of Tarsus was doing what Saul of Tarsus wanted to do. Oh, the long-suffering of the Lord. You know, I think it's a conspicuous characteristic of our God today that he's long-suffering. Why does he let things go on? Why doesn't he do this and that today? Because of his long-suffering. Because he has those still. They may not go, in our estimate, as far as Saul of Tarsus, but they're living so great a death in unbelief. And the Lord is long-suffering because he has some of them to call by his grace. His purpose is set on them. He'll never forget them, never abandon them. No, he set his everlasting love upon them before the foundation of the world. Never write anybody off. We don't know. Never write anybody off because of what you see in them today. It might be different. How will they hear? How will they hear without a preacher? These things make us think. Oh, but the Lord will have them. The Lord will call them by his grace. There was no preacher involved when Saul of Tarsus was met on the Damascus Road. Oh, the Lord appeared. And I think some of you know what it is for the Lord to come without any, using any means in between. Some of you know what it is for the Lord to come and make himself known. Well, so much then for those words, who delivered us from so great a death. And we read how he delivered from his people from so great a death, because he died so great a death. Do I think about it enough? Do you think about it enough? Do you think of the agony? The love that carried him through, yes, but oh, the agony. And what he felt in his infinite soul when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, there were worlds of sorrow and grief in those words. He felt more than ever we could feel. It may be there are those who have also sweat great drops of blood, but not to feel the depth that he has felt. What he endured no tongue can tell, to save our soul from death and hell. Well, we're to think of Jesus for ourselves. If he gives us that thought, you know, we need to pray to the Lord to direct our thoughts. Our thoughts are the root of our thinking and speaking and doing. We need to pray about our thoughts. And I feel I don't do that often enough, to just consider how my mind is working. The imagination of the heart of man, we read at one point, was only evil continually. That's how it is today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days when the Lord returns. You see? It was the imagination of the thoughts of the heart that was the trouble. And the Lord can heal that dreadful disease. And Paul doesn't say, think on these things, when he knows we can't possibly. It makes us pray, yes, Lord, I do pray to think on these things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are honest and true and of good report. I want to think on those things, Lord. I'm still learning. Perhaps you are too. Well, now then, that's so much for what has happened, the past. But what about this? And doth deliver. God which raiseth the dead, doth deliver. Doth deliver now. Here's something for the present. Oh, it's amazing that Paul could say that when, for that time in which he wrote, he was still going through so much, but he was being brought through. He was being brought through. And one way he speaks about was, he had the sentence of death in himself. Yes, one day he knew he would die. And yet it wouldn't be death. Death for a Christian is no death. Death for a Christian is a transfer or a translation, a carrying over into a better country. But still, he's speaking about the present and doth deliver. And again, can you speak of what the Lord is delivering you from now? This glorious deliverer, this one worthy of the name of deliverer. Can you speak of what he's delivering you from, you and me, even now? Think of where we might have been. Think of the circumstances. Yes, we think of our circumstances sometimes could hardly be worse, but, oh, think of what they might have been, where we might have been. Remember, so great a death was the death in which we lived in unbelief. And the Lord still goes on with that work of salvation. He doesn't call by grace and draw a soul to himself by saying, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, just once. No, he doth deliver. He says today, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And until we do come to him and by faith are bonded to him, united to him, and we shan't have that rest. Oh, but believing, blessed with that living faith in Christ Jesus, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. There's a peace when the world is raging, when the world is in turmoil, just like we were singing a little bit ago. And then, finally, the future, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Oh, here is a gospel indeed. Past, that's covered. Present, that's for today. And future, yes, there it is. He will yet deliver us. This God which raiseth the dead, he will yet deliver us. How are saints delivered? Why, they're sometimes, as to quote one verse, they're delivered from bondage. Bondage in which they may seem to live all their days through fear of death. And the Lord is able to deliver from fear of death. You say, well, Christians don't fear death, do they? They're made of flesh and blood. And the flesh and blood objects to death, that severance of the soul from the body. So souls may be in bondage through fear of death all their lifetime, but the Lord is able to deliver, whether in this life we must wait his time, or whether at the last they'll be delivered. Old friend of ours told me once, he didn't fear death, but he feared dying. What was he doing? He was sitting as a head of a class of young people desiring to learn more of the gospel. He sat there and he prayed for the Lord's blessing to be upon them as they studied the word, sat down in his chair, silence. He'd gone. He'd got medical men there. He'd gone. You see, through fear of death, I don't fear death, but I fear dying, he said. And then, it's a wonderful thing if we're delivered from ungodliness. That's what he says in Romans 11 again. Delivered from ungodliness. Which raises the question, am I godly? Would people think I'm godly? Would they know enough about me to say that? Would they ever think about that? Ah, the Lord's able to deliver us and strengthen us in godliness. Godliness. And so, to draw to a close, here you have past, present, and future, or, to put it in another way, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Wonderful gospel. This helps us, with the future in front, to say, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. I don't know whether we think our afflictions are light and that they're working in that way for us. That's what he says. He will yet deliver us. And from the bondage of corruption. I trust you like Romans 8. And in Romans 8 we read of the whole creation groaning and travailing together in pain until now. It's right, isn't it? Good description of the world today. And we read that creation that shows such signs of being affected and scarred by sin shall be delivered. The creation itself shall be delivered. Oh, blessed hope, that glorious land above that the Lord is preparing. Even now, even today, I go to prepare a place for you. What that amounts to, the detail of that place that he's preparing, we can't enter into. It's beyond us. It's infinite goodness and grace and mercy and love for all eternity. Yes, Jesus Christ, a better country. The Lord is the only deliverer. Job found that. He says, no, there's no deliverer except the Lord himself. Yeah. Chapter 10, verse 7. Finally, what love would we have for an earthly deliverer? Just occasionally you get a news item. There's not many news items that make you glad and thankful, but there was one the other week where a patient who was taken in urgent need of reaching hospital, taken by the medics, and they were so thankful that a meeting was arranged afterwards that she should meet the medics and say how much she felt thankful for them for saving her life, or seeing to the remedy so quickly, seeing that she had the treatment that she needed so quickly. In other words, that person loved those that delivered her. And then you read of those that are delivered from sinking in the deep when they stray too far out into the sea and lose their life, or are in danger of losing their life, and someone comes and rescues them, how much they must feel. Shouldn't be here if it wasn't for that deliverer, the one that delivered me. Is this how we feel today? We shouldn't be here if it wasn't that the Lord was our deliverer, who delivered us from so great a death. We shouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. Oh, you see what praises are due to his great and holy name. On such love my soul still ponder. Love so rich, so full, so free. Say, whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me? Alleluia! Grace shall reign eternally. Now the Lord add his blessing to us, and grant our praises might be to that God who raiseth the dead. See, present tense. He's going about his work now. God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Blessed be God. Blessed be his name.